Happy Tuesday. Welcome to Recruiting Intel on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. Got Justin Wells, got Coach Dub. Finally, July 4th is just around the corner. It's a hectic time of year covering recruiting. Hectic time, I'm sure, for coaches, family.
That's like when someone says, it's finally ready to get my cast off. It's finally ready to get these stitches removed.
And then it's like, oh, bending my arm is still difficult because I haven't had it. I've had it braced the whole time. So, but lots and lots of recruiting stuff going on. We getting everybody this week? Yes. All right, great show, guys.
We'll see you, Brett.
We appreciate you doing
it. Sure, Brett. Tell Brett the more super chats he puts in, the better chance Texas has at getting everybody. It's a team thing here, Brett.
I love it. But
we'll talk about some of the big ones as it goes. Each guy has their decision dates, lots on July 4th, including two big ones on the O-line. But there's a big one on the defensive line scheduled for tomorrow, Justin. That's Kendall Guerville out of Florida. Had a great official visit to Texas, but he moved up his decision date coming off of that official visit. But this one is becoming a big Southeastern battle, isn't it?
It is, and Texas fans – college football fans, recruiting fans need to understand NIL has changed the game. And it's changed it in a manner that you can be in on a kid. You can be really close to getting that commitment and even closer to that signature. But if a bigger, better offer comes along, it's kind of hard for a 17-year-old to say, no, thank you. Don't give me all of that extra money. That's kind of what we're looking at right now. Look, I think Guerville in Texas makes a lot of sense, and that's why he'd been trending there for a few months. But I think Florida was expecting to get a couple of these guys along the way. And the fact that Florida hasn't been able to close any of them has made it where they have to spend more now. They're going to have to, what we call, up the ante. And that's exactly what they're doing. I talked to a couple Florida guys yesterday, and they're saying, look, you know, since they missed on so many guys – they increase their NIL offer so they don't miss on all of them. And that's how schools are going to operate. That's how programs are going to operate. It's position by position, player by player. Some guys are going to get a normal number. Some guys may get a little bit of an increase because of the demand of their position. Well, there's a high demand for defensive linemen. And we've said Texas will overspend at this position. And I think some fans forgot – not too long ago, Vodney Cleveland jumped in this class, and they spent for him. And Richard Wesley jumped in this class, and they spent for him. You know, and so in some cases, Texas is going to win out on the NIL side. But in some, when they already have three guys in one class, and other schools don't have any in their class, well, naturally, that's called economics. And that's what we're dealing with now in college football. Fans are having a really difficult time understanding that, and it's very pro-light now. Some positions are going to get allocated resources. We had somebody ask, why isn't wide receiver recruiting booming right now? Do you know how much they invested in last year's cycle? When you get three guys that were five stars at one point, you have to consider that. You have to look at that, and it looks like Florida really stepped up to the table with Guerville. Texas still has about 24 hours before that announcement goes live. They're going to make a final push there. Texas loves Guerville. They're going to try to get him in this class and close the door on D-line recruiting for the cycle. That being said, Florida's not going to be sitting on the curb with no defensive tackles in this class.
Right.
They're at a point now where they gave Guerville an offer. They had to up it considerably, and that's where we're at today.
Fair. See this comment from Rich Moneycash: shouldn't Texas have more money than with the misses?
I mean, didn't listen to anything I said.
There is still, this is separate from the house settlement stuff,
right?
There's a practical amount of money that Texas and all these schools have. It's not limitless. And also, just like Justin, you mentioned, if they do not have anybody like Florida does, then they are going to make the effort
exactly to
get somebody. And, you know, schools, that if they dedicate more to certain position, They're going to dedicate more at that position. The dollars are going to be the dollars. Yep. For this one, will Texas use the money from Guerville on another target? Doesn't seem like it. Charlie, this is one where because they look good and they have Richard Wesley and they look in a good position for somebody else we're going to talk about in a little while. This isn't the type of guy that you just switch things over. Guerville is the guy you stay on.
Yeah, definitely. They're not going to say, I'm going to allocate all my funds to another guy position where you already look good for other guys on the board. You may have already solidified a number with a guy that you're after. There's no need to go out and up the ante to get another guy.
There you go.
You know, to chase another team, right? Especially when you're already kind of in the boat with some guys. I wouldn't do it, and it's just not a smart business decision to say, hey, we take our funds and allocate them to somewhere else like Henderson, who may be trending elsewhere.
And then I saw this one from Big Poke. So is Georgia getting that same treatment in recruiting? This is where we talk about it's not all money. Money does make a big impact, and Georgia's got money. Georgia also has Kirby Smart. They won two national titles in the last 4 years or whatever it is. They won the SEC. Like, they're still a phenomenal program, and that has an allure to it in and of itself, just like Texas has the same thing. You know, so there are aspects that operate away from money, but at the same time, like, it all has to still be right.
And it all balances itself out. Do you know why Georgia is pushing more on that defensive front this cycle? Because they missed on some big guys last year. It's all like a learning lesson year to year. If Justice Terry signs with Georgia, they're not dropping ginormous bags for J.J. Johnson. They're just not. They're going in on him, but they're not going big. The fact they lost to Justice Terry and a number of other guys in state last cycle, they're kind of reappropriating their deal. This is a very fluid thing in all programs, and all are different, all operate at a different kind of level. If you know, you see Texas A&M and USC right now, they are overspending tremendously for a lot of these guys. That's going to come back to bite them because of that July 1st settlement, because of the new rules and regulations. That's going to come back to bite them because it's going to be hard to fit all that money in a salary cap, which we all know it's all going to go – a lot of it's going to go back under the table, but that's another subject. That's what you're seeing right now. So Georgia, they got bit last year in state. They can't afford to get bit again in state. I think that's why they went into Texas and kind of overspent for Chase Calicutt, the big safety out of North Shore. Kirby wanted to get that guy, that Sark had, that in-state guy, kind of a get-you-back kind of guy. And so Georgia operates a little differently. They all operate a little differently. But each one, it's funny. We can now see dominoes where if one kid doesn't go in one spot, it's going to push him somewhere that's also going to change their board. And that guy was on another board that's going to change another board. And that's the fascinating thing about recruiting today, in my opinion.
Big point. In Big Poke, you're onto something. Like that's we're in line with that comment.
If he was worth top dollar, I think he would get top dollar.
That's a pretty big statement on the number one linebacker.
It is, but I've seen the money, and you know how much the money is involved here. Tyler Atkinson is a dog. That's the guy that you want in your program. That's a guy that Texas is pushing hard for, and they will spend for. He also has a price tag that is considerably higher than most. And so sometimes you have to factor those decisions in. Does Georgia hit that mark because they can't afford to lose the number one guy in the state again?
Right.
I think they probably do. I think Texas knows that. Even if Texas doesn't get him, you know what they're doing? They're pushing up the price on Georgia.
Yeah.
This thing is a strategy. This is chess, not checkers, fellas. Like, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this. Tyler Atkinson, I think Texas will spin big for Atkinson. I really do, especially the way the linebacker situation kind of is going with this class. They look great for Kosi Ogpala, but they want another guy in there. Just understand, Tyler's NIL is significant, okay? More so than you would imagine for a recruit at a position like linebacker. But if Texas and Georgia think he's worthy, he'll get that.
He'll get it.
Before we keep going, got to show some love to our sponsor, that is Roback. There's only one way to describe Roback: best fit, best feel. For those who aren't familiar with Roback, they are completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. Roback has released so many items within their new licensed game day collection, and it's our favorite. with novel polo designs and clean hoodie and Q's designs from some of your favorite schools like Texas is definitely worth checking out. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Roback's everyday shorts or their Delta Performance pants are the perfect pairing as well. Both are super comfortable, have an elastic waistband and great fabric that's made to have the appearance of a nice short look with a comfort for a day on the move. Roback has also been proudly leading the NIL charge, having signed partnerships with multiple college football stars like Quinn Ewers. They are becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. Use the code TEXAS20 on roback.com for a generous 20% off for all new customers through the end of this week. That's ROBACK.com and 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with TEXAS20. We'll keep on going. And, hey, all the news is not just doom and gloom. There's some good news going. But, again, there's challenges.
People sometimes they forget the gains. They only focus on the losses. And losses. Rodney Cleveland, gigantic gain. Richard Wesley, gigantic gain. Yeah. And we're here to remind Texas fans of those good things. That way they don't just focus on the negative.
Again, another good thing to track. Charlie, you posted some notes just a few minutes ago about Jamarian Carleton. Yeah. This is one that, again, lots of different battles here. And the battlefields always look a little different. But Texas has shown Jamarian the love for the longest and is trying to overcome some in and out of state efforts to unseat that.
Yeah, definitely. Look, just like Florida's doing with Gravel, look, Baylor and LSU are doing the same thing for Carleton. When a team sees a guy that it's a must get, a must need, they'll go all out efforts and use every resource they can to try to get that kid, right? Here's the thing with Carleton. Not only can Texas meet those needs, he got the best relationship with the Texas staff and dating back with Coach Lyle Clark all the way back to Ohio State. So, yeah, I feel like Texas is the leader here, but other teams are going to push. They're going to push even after he commits on the 10th. They're going to keep coming to him, after him until December. So, and I can't blame him, man. This is a kid that has continued. He has a lot of room to grow, man. He has such a long frame, man. He can build. He's a builder bear. He's a builder player type of guy. You know, you can do whatever you want to with him type of size. And so, Baylor and LSU are making things interesting. Of course, they're going to come after him just as they should. This is recruiting. If you're not trying, then I don't know. You shouldn't even be in the game. You shouldn't even be attempting to get kids. You should get out of football altogether. But this is the name of the game, and Baylor and LSU are definitely coming out to Carleton.
If you had to pick one, you think it's probably Baylor making the most strenuous effort. And it's interesting because we don't see a ton of Texas and Baylor battles anymore. But just like Texas likes to control its backyard, Baylor views Temple as its backyard. It's 2-5-4, and they like to keep best players in Waco. You know, they have a few of the top players from the Waco area committed in this class. They made a great effort for that, and they're trying to do the same thing for Carleton, it sounds like.
Yeah, you got Tevin Reese. You got Lance Seastrunk, who's like family, who played at Baylor. Ashton Logan, TJ Franklin, another defensive end from Baylor, from Temple that went to Baylor. So Baylor's pulling out all the stops. You got a couple guys that you know from your hometown, some you consider like family, played at Baylor. They're definitely trying to be in his ear and his family's ear and say, hey, you know, follow in our footsteps. And it happens. So, yeah, Baylor would definitely, I would say, is the top guys, the top school trying to make a push for Carleton here late before his commitment date.
And Baylor has a pretty good little class building if you're paying attention. London Smith, Jamarian Vincent, they're doing really well, I feel like, in this cycle.
Remember, they were the ones that had the shirts with the quote from Aranda on it. Just said, we pay players.
You
know? Yeah. And I think everybody was like, oh, what does that mean? No, we all know what it means. A lot of this has to, it's intertwined with this now. So that one's what, July 8th or July 10th?
8th.
July 8th, so that'll be one.
No.
It's one of those two.
Jalen Lott's the 8th. I think Jamarian's the 10th.
The 10th, yeah.
So that'll be at Temple High School. Should be a lot of fun to track that one. But, of course, the Bears are making it, and the Tigers, making it a little bit more interesting. We kind of have a running joke. Our guy Connor, he's going to see this. He always asks us who to put on the thumbnail. We used to always joke, put Felix Ojo and John Turntine on there. We just kept doing it. But then it makes sense today because both those guys decide on July 4th, two of the biggest O-line targets in the class. And Justin, we'll start with Ojo, someone who has taken visits all over the country, Michigan, Ohio State, Utah, and Texas, of course, number one player in the state of Texas. and one of the most important recruitments out there. You know, with three defensive linemen committed, you feel okay. With Richard Wesley committed, you feel okay about those positions. And not to say anything bad about guys like Max Wright or Nick Brooks, who I think we know have a lot of upside. Right. They're different prospects than Ojo and Turntine, and that makes Ojo one of the most important in the class. Where does Texas look like they are heading into a crucial July 4th announcement?
Yeah, so Ojo is in that category we were talking about where you don't mind overspending if you have to. That's a premium position at offensive tackle. It always will be when you've got Sark as your head coach to protect his precious quarterbacks. Felix has been a priority, it feels like, for well over a year. And this is something like, yeah, they were trending with Kendall Guerbel since around spring. But with Ojo, they've been doing this song and dance since the summer before last. And so I think Felix is always known. I think Texas is his pick. But he wanted to be smart. He wanted to take visits and learn about other places. Ohio State did a great job. Michigan, really, I thought, did a great job. They were in the mix there as well. He even had Utah throwing their hand into the mix. But ultimately, I think this guy's going to end up at Texas. I think everything still trends in that direction. Texas wanted that franchise left tackle type that they could get. And you know, the thing I learned the other night about Ojo, you know, he took it pretty hard last week on social media when there was a few clips from his rivals' camp where he was getting beat by some of the edge guys. I went back and watched some of those. For some reason, rivals neglected to show the clips he won. He won a handful of those, including the first two against KJ Ford. But for some reason, we didn't see that clip. We only saw the negative. Look, Felix Ojo was a dog, okay? This kid is a kid with a moldable frame that you can grow into a monster one day. Felix is beautiful. I think Texas remains in a great position. They prioritize him. They know how important it is. Dia Bell has to have a blindside guy.
Yeah.
He's got to have that guy. And I think Felix Ojo knows that. I think he feels feels the weight of that, and he's gonna go for it.
Coach, it seems like early playing time is a big factor for Ojo. And it's not often you hear for the Texas or the Ohio State or even the Michigan and honestly even Utah with the way they've been running their program about early playing time being available. But with Texas, you know, there's an idea that Trevor Goosby could be on his way to the NFL after this season. There's an idea that, or not an idea, the Ohio State has a Rice grad transfer there for just 1 year. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty interesting to see that the immediate playing time pitch is being offered to someone deserving it from all these top schools.
And make no mistake about it, Ojo's not being shy about saying he's coming to play and compete for playing time as soon as he steps on campus. It doesn't care who's in front of him. Now, of course, Trevor Goosey being here, he knows. He has 1 year. I can step right into that role. And he sees the path. He sees the blueprint of I can be the next guy at the left tackle position to get drafted, so to speak. But he sees that in a lot of schools. But I think he just has the best relationship with Texas. But he has made it clear he wants to play early. He feels like he can come in and contribute to a program right away once he gets through offseason, a year or, I guess, a semester before the fall football starts. But he wants to play early, and that's really big on his list when he gets to whatever college he goes to.
That's a July 4th announcement. There is another July. There are quite a few July 4th announcements. People love celebrating this country. But another one is John Turntine. Last thing we'll talk about here. This has been a longtime Texas target. People's opinions of him as a prospect have changed. And I can kind of get why when you see a offensive lineman look as slim as he has through some of his visits. I've held, do not worry. A 17, 18-year-old kid who gets in a college program, don't worry about that at all. And I think any coach or team that is worried about that are fooling themselves. And, oh, by the way, it doesn't seem like it really is affecting how schools like Texas, schools like Michigan, and even Stanford are viewing this recruitment. Coach, you'll be at this one, I believe, later this week.
Yeah.
The Turntines have gone through this about as well as any family can go through a process. And
yes.
Longhorns are looking to finish the tight recruiting battle here this week.
Yeah, look, this family is about business. They look, he comes from a great family. He has a great nucleus around him from his brothers, his sisters, mom, and dad. I mean, as you see on the film, like, you wouldn't think so. This is a kid. It's one of those kids that he just wants to hurt everybody on the field, man. He's serious about his business on the field as well. But I love Turntine. love getting to know him and his entire family, man. This would be a great gift for the Longhorns. I can't wait to July 4th. I feel like we're going to get orange smoke. I'm going to get to enjoy some great barbecue and have orange smoke with this one. And I will help his grandmother outside if she's there, just saying FYI. But, man, Turntown's a great kid. Texas absolutely killed it on his official visit, and they did a great job with him and his family. I know we said numerous of times, oldest sister just graduated from UT, has another sister and a brother at Houston Tillerson down the street in Austin, so why not make it a family affair and all everybody in Austin together?
Justin, if they go 2 for 2, that makes this week a lot better than what it feels like for a lot of fans right now, doesn't it?
It makes it feel a lot better for previous July 4ths. Now, it doesn't make up for them. Because those were some crashing burns. There were some fireworks that went into the house. But, yeah, I think it does help them. Well, I mean, it helps all Texas fans whenever you get those big guys, but especially guys they've prioritized for so long. You know, we've always felt good about Ojo, but with Turntime, Michigan turned it up.
They did.
Texas A&M turned it up. Like, there were some schools that were really – and that's what NIL does now. It's not just recruiting the family and the vision and the potential and all that. You've got this other factor. And I don't know if you people know this, but money changes everything, for better or worse. And so I love how Texas really – you know, they knew how well A&M and Michigan did on those official visits, and I think that's why they absolutely slaughtered Turntimes. Yeah. Like, they understood, look, these guys stepped up better. We got to step up. And that's exactly what Texas did. They matched that and they came with it. And I think Texas fans should be happy on this. They're going to miss a few in July. They're going to get a few in July. But, and we'll say this again, and I think we're going to get a t-shirt made or something. It's like, recruiting doesn't end in June and July. It only begins in December. And that should be Sark's motto. And I think people that have followed Texas the last 3 or 4 years, there's patterns. You see that. So some are going to be happy. Some are going to shoot fireworks. Some are going to be upset if Caden Finley picks Notre Dame, even though you've been told that's probably what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, just understand, if you get bookend offensive tackles for your 2026 class, I'd go to bed happy. I'd sleep like a baby. And so I think Texas fans will be happy, but they're still going to bemoan about a couple of misses they might
always.
There was a clip. Somebody asked about this. Jackson Miles. I think that was Quentin Gibson who's heading up to Colorado. So already signed, good player. That North Crowley program is special.
And I think their 2028 wide receiver, I believe, is Damarian Mays.
Number one, best
receiver in the state for 2028. If you want a big receiver in 27, Argyle's Julian Caldwell. You want one in 2028, go love on Damarian Mays.
Yeah.
If you want the latest 2026 cycle recruiting news, make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel. If any big news breaks, we'll have reaction. So hit that bell there.
I got one more final thing before we get out, but you go ahead.
And then, of course, head to Inside Texas. Links in the description. We got a ton of news over talking recruiting on the Inside Texas members only board. Lots of fun, lots of new members joining, having fun with the way that the companies have merged, getting involved on the main board, getting involved on members only. So lots of fun. Justin, send us out. What you got?
Hey, Big Poke's been holding it down in this lively chat. But I will say this. If Georgia gets everybody, what happened to Mark Bowman?
That's true.
They don't get everybody.
Just kind of the evidence. You know, if somebody – if you have the desire and the means, you can make it happen.
We need a fund for Sugar Father.
Nah, he'll be fine.
We need a bail fund. He's been helping us out. It would only be right if we helped him out. Sugar Father, call your guy. Call Joe and Ian and let them know if we need to put together a super chat bail fund for our Sugar Father.
Hey, man, you know why they put all those bail bonds companies are called A1 or AAA? Because it's first in the phone book.
First in the phone book. Yep, that's right.
All right. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you next time on Recruiting Intel on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com.